Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Sofa Cinema Club, episode number 13. I am Colson Smith and I'm joined by
Ben Price,
Jack P. Shepherd.
The Sofa Cinema Club is our podcast. We get together and we educate each other on films, the films we should have seen but we haven't. Each week we get together and we watch a film and then we come into the studio and we talk about what we loved, hated and rated. The beauty of our film club is that anyone can join in. All you have to do is watch along with the films at home and then come and listen to us every Thursday to hear what we say. This week's film is my choice and it is Seven Psychopaths. But before we get into talking about this week's film, you know, how's your week been would be the normal question, but today is a mammoth day for Sofa Cinema Club. It's a big day, and I'm going to let Jack explain why it's such a big day. And Jack, take it away.
Not a clue. I don't know what you're talking about.
Slightly awkward. Happy birthday, Ben.
What? Is it your birthday?
It's my fucking birthday today, Jack. Thank you for the card.
I thought you were born in April.
Well, I beg to differ. It's my fucking birthday. I'm born on June the 30th.
Sure, Wikipedia says you're right.
It
says he's January.
June 30th, 1951.
Happy birthday.
I'm 70 today. I'll tell you what, I'm exhausted, but I look good for it. But Jack, I know you were just pretending to not know. I know that. But of course, cool,
so did you get your Moonpig card? Moonpig.com.
This podcast is not sponsored or endorsed by Moonpig, but if you do want to sponsor us,
if you did want to send me a card, Moonpig, it would have been nice, but you missed it. Maybe next year.
Good birthday.
Got dog paw. Obviously, I'm doing this on my birthday. I got some of those AirPods.
Nice.
Oh, yeah.
Jack doesn't like them, actually, do you?
But I tell you what, Jack, they're mint. When you've got them in, they're really good. So I walk around.
I like the wire.
You like the wire?
It's just sort of retro. It's weird, isn't it, that Apple iPhones are retro. They're retro now.
Are they?
Because all the ones have got the big ones, you know, that you've got on your head. All the kids have got them now.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, the wires
are
retro.
Still got the retro iPod ones.
Not the old Walkman overhead.
No.
You won't even remember
the
Walkman.
They were retro.
You don't even remember the Walkman. None of you do.
I do.
No. It was in the 80s. When were you born?
With the tapes. With the tapes.
You can't remember tapes, Jack. When were you born?
I do remember tapes.
When were you born?
88.
Are you 40? Anyway, it's my birthday. It was mint.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
What's everyone else? Colson, your week?
Well, probably the highlight, the most interesting part of the week for me, was that we, for the first time ever, listened to the podcast together, didn't we?
Oh, I forgot about that. That was good. Yeah. Wasn't that good? They're good, aren't they, those three?
They're very good. So we're sat in Jack's garden, spaced apart, loving life, and it's probably 10 o'clock at night, and we're listening to ourselves in Jack's garden. So I can't imagine what the neighbours would have thought, but we just sat there pissing ourselves for the hour, didn't we?
So cringy when you laugh at yourself.
Oh, yeah, I always do.
I know your little
always
face,
do.
Jack.
Listen back.
He's going, oh, he's good, that Jack. You were totting along. And then when you knew.
I was responding to myself. Whatever I would say, I would go,
yeah.
You're dead right.
Yeah, we. It was. for me, it was so weird to watch us listen back to it, because I often will go for a walk and listen to it and still laugh. But we all kind of talk to ourselves and talk to each other, and it just worked.
Yeah,
it made me laugh. Jack turned around at one point and said, "To be fair, we could go and rob a bank right now, and we'd have an alibi.
Yeah, we could just play it in the garden, and the neighbours would be like, 'Yeah, they were in the garden chatting away,
chatting about Seven.'"
What was funny was, a bit like seeing when you've seen a film before, every time it came up to a bit that was good for either one of us, someone goes,
this is a good bit.
And then laugh. It's a good bit. We loved it, didn't we? Paused.
Loved it.
We had a chat about stuff in the middle of it.
Mm.
There we go. It was a very good podcast. Those lads would go far.
I've had an interesting week, actually. I thought I'd educate myself. Because, you know, I think I have told you, I've been playing Assassin's Creed.
Yes. It's on the island.
You've tried to ride a horse, or...
Yeah. I've been having horse riding lessons.
No, it's set in ancient Greece, is this one. And Assassin's Creed Odyssey, I think it's called. Ancient Greece. So I thought I'd do some research into ancient Greece. So I started looking at, first of all, the Spartans, and then I went on to Troy, and now I'm on to Alexander the Great. Watching documentaries on it. It's very interesting.
What a riveting week.
Whoa, I'll tell you what. What got you into that? Assassin's Creed.
Oh, a rat attacked me.
There we go. That's what we want to know.
That's the top quality content we want to hear about.
That's what we want to hear. I was putting the bins out on Sunday night. And I've told you before about the infestation of the rats in my area.
Big rats.
Set the scene. What time is this? What time at night, Jay?
This is night time. I would say it's about 10:30, 11 o'clock
at night.
So it's
dark. They've got an advantage there. They can see in the dark, can't they?
So I'm privileged enough to say that I have two wheelie bins.
Oh.
So that's good. Okay. Two black wheelie bins.
How did you get that?
Well, it's all right for some, innit? Famous.
No, just there at the house. It's not. They're just there at the house that I rent.
The level of fame. Ooh, get him. Oh, get him with his two bins.
To be fair, mine and Ben's are unlimited because we've got that chute, which is mint.
Oh, the chute is mint. And as you hear it go down, it splits.
Crash, bang, it's
crack. So hold on. You've got two bins. Right. You're going out. Are you in your big slippers? Your weird slippers.
I've got my big slippers on. I've got them big slippers on.
So you've got no chance of running?
No.
Okay.
So I'm pulling the wheelie bins out.
Okay.
And as I'm dragging them up the street, there must have been a rat in the bin. So the movement of me pulling the wheelie bins has disturbed him. And he's gone to leap out the bin, and he's jumped on my fucking neck.
No way.
Behind my fucking neck. And he sort of slithered down my body and sort of rolled onto the floor. A great fat bastard rat. Massive, slimy. It's been in the bin. He'd obviously jumped. He'd hit the neck, and then he might have hurt himself on the back of my neck or something. He sort of just rolled down my body for like an eternity before he landed on the floor.
Did you make a noise? God.
Yeah. I didn't know what it was at first. I thought someone was tapping me on the fucking shoulder.
In your garden?
It was that big. No, this is me walking up the street.
Oh God.
Yeah. Oh, it was terrible. It's terrifying.
Did you see him again? What happened to him?
No, he ran off. He ran off through someone's garden.
How was he in the bin? Don't you have a lid?
Yeah, but it was open a bit. Because the bin bag didn't quite go in.
Oof. Jack, that sounds awful. Were you all right going to bed?
Yeah, it was. Yeah. I took all my clothes off and had to get a shower.
What, with the rat? Was the rat just as disturbed about it and went, "I need a shower now. Lads, I need a shower. I've just jumped on David Platt's back."
So,
oh, God.
I'm in the process of planning my 22nd birthday. Obviously, there isn't much...
Forgetting you're 21.
Yeah.
When's that? I'm 21, Jack. When's your birthday?
Shall we ask Jack, see if he scores it, see if he redeems himself? What date's my birthday, Jack?
Phone a friend.
I'm going to say...
50-50.
15th of August.
13th of August.
Oh, close.
Oh, yeah, closer than mine. Yeah, well done, April. Jack. So what are you going to do?
I've booked a. It's called the Big Beast Safari Tent.
Ooh.
And it is glamping in a two-story tent. It's got two hot tubs. It's got a log burner. It is full guns. It's going to be mint.
And who's going, Coulson? Who have you invited, Coulson?
Well, it's obviously, it's eight people, so it's seven of my closest friends.
Okay, yeah. Great, great. Yeah. What's the date again? Tell me what the date is.
So I've already made the group chat, and like I said, seven of my closest friends.
I haven't checked my phone yet, But when I do, what date would you like me there?
I think you're busy. Let's put it that way. Oh, but Jack, you're free, aren't you?
I'm invited. I'm on the group chat. I'm in there.
I've got a bunk. I've got a hot tub. You wait till I turn up. Lads!
I'm here for the top bunk.
Don't put the light on. It'll just come in. Oh, that sounds mint. So how do they do the two hot tubs? One outside, one inside?
No, but both outside. Almost like socially distant hot tubs in a way.
Well, is that going to be all right for August?
How do they work that?
August. So obviously holidaying in the UK is what's being advised, isn't it? And by August, you know, by next week, that is what's allowed to happen.
But only with your household, not with eight randoms, obviously, because not your closest friends, not your family.
In August, it'll be fine. Anyway, should we talk about film?
Yeah, should we move on?
I think we should talk about film. That is what we do at the Sofa Cinema Club. This week's film, Seven Psychopaths. So, a synopsis from myself. Seven Psychopaths is written and directed by Martin McDonagh. What is it? Martin McDonagh? How? Is that his name?
McDonagh.
Martin McDonagh. So, the story is basically follows Colin Farrell's character, Marty, who is a writer, and he is writing his new film, and all he's got is a title, Seven Psychopaths. And he kind of, with the help of his friends, is trying to develop this film. And in developing the film, they kind of come across and discover their seven psychopaths. And do you know what? With the side beeline story of the Shih Tzu, that is about as much as there is to the film.
Yeah.
Because it's dialogue and actors, isn't it? That's what this film is.
Yeah.
Do you know what it reminds me of, which you two are going to completely shoot out? Pulp Fiction.
No, it doesn't.
Do you not think?
No. How'd you get that?
Just because it's so randomly put together and so dialogue heavy, and how the scenes almost don't feel like scenes. I just found it really quite...
I know what you mean. They seem like random conversations.
Yeah, like...
Is that what you mean?
For example, the opening scene, you've got the two hitmen on Hollywood Reservoir, haven't you?
Reservoir.
What's a what?
Reservoir.
Reservoir dogs. Welcome to Reservoir.
Reservoir. So you've got the two hitmen at Lake Hollywood, I'll say that. And the conversation that they're having then is just really good script and doesn't kind of have any purpose to it, but it sets the tone. And them characters almost build themselves, and then the next thing you know, they've been shot in the back of the head. Yeah. And that's psychopath number one.
Yeah.
It's a similar kind of... I get what you're saying. It's a similar thing that you're in a scene which normally should be quite tense, and then the characters are talking about something else. So the scene there is they're about to kill someone, and they get into an argument about their minutiae of something else, don't they? How you'd kill someone, how different. And that Tarantino does that a lot.
Yeah.
He puts the characters in one situation, but they end up arguing about something else. Even though they're about to kill someone, they're arguing about a small matter of life.
Yeah.
I think probably because that's the first time I've watched it since understanding Tarantino. And I just kind of thought, well, it's definitely taken something from the way that he makes and writes films. So probably one of the key aspects of the film is Marty's best friend has a side business, and his side business is with Christopher Waltz's character, who is called
Christopher Walken. Not Christoph Waltz. That's a different bloody actor?
That's him from not The Good, The Bad and The Ugly. Tarantino film, innit? Shall I call him the dad out of Hairspray? Can everyone work with that? They've got this side business where they kidnap dogs, don't they? They call it dog borrowing. So they will take rich people's dogs, wait for the missing dog poster to come up, and then go and take it round and take the reward. Yeah. And they kidnap the wrong dog, don't they?
Woody Harrelson's dog.
Yeah, who plays Charlie Costello.
Yeah, he's like this gangster, isn't he?
Big gangster. Wasn't meant to be him.
Who was it meant to be?
Mickey Rourke.
Yeah. And they fell out.
Because he had different ideas about the character than what the writer and director did.
So they booted him. Because, who is it that plays it, Jack? Woody.
Woody Harrelson.
He took the job on, like, a week before they started filming. And he said he just walked in and they were all ready to go. And it was literally step on set, first day. They've all had this script for a year.
God.
Because the writer had written this before he did In Bruges. And In Bruges was like the thing that he got.
Have you seen In Bruges, Jack?
Yeah. That's a clever film. Yeah.
He did a short that won an Oscar. Yes. And then he wrote In Bruges, and that kind of got the nod. And this is when he got the American money.
It was a big
So this was his first film with the American
it
money.
Was a big
yeah,
playwright.
In Broad, did Broadway, did
yeah,
he?
Yeah, but he started the court, I think. So his plays went all over the world before he got into films.
So
he's a clever writer.
They steal Charlie Costello's Shih Tzu, don't they? And that kind of speeds the film up on its way to finding their seven psychopaths.
But it's all sort of centered around Farrell trying to write this film called Seven Psychopaths, isn't it? And having that writer's block. It's almost like Martin McDonagh trying to find a film to write and writing about a writer who can't write.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then having bits of what I suspect probably was going to be the film, that but they are never long enough to be a film. So you sort of jump into different psychopaths, don't you, through the film? Like he has the Quaker psychopath.
Yeah, psychopath number two.
What is he going to be first? What does he call him?
Oh.
It says the religious psychopath, the Buddhist psychopath, and then he crosses that out.
Then it's
Amish.
The Amish psychopath, and then it's...
And he decides on Quaker.
Psychopath number one, Ben, is the
yes.
Jack of Diamonds.
Jack of Diamonds, yeah. Psychopath number two is the Quaker. So the Quaker's story is told by Colin Farrell's character. So basically, the Quaker's daughter has been murdered and raped and abused, and the killer goes to prison but doesn't get life. He doesn't get the death penalty. He gets life in prison. And because he finds God whilst he's in prison, he gets let out early. So after he's been let out, the Quaker starts to follow him. And it's kind of the Quaker following him from a distance but making sure that he knows that he's there. And
he's
then,
just always there and he haunts him, basically.
Yeah. And then there's that shot in the window where Farrell's character is basically saying, in religion, the only way to get away from, like, heaven and to go into hell is by taking your own life. That's the biggest sin. Yeah. So he thinks, if I take my own life, the Quaker is not going to follow me. And he gets out a razor blade and he cuts his throat. And as he does it, he looks out the window and the Quaker gets out a razor blade and cuts his throat as if to say, I'm following you. And that's kind of the story of psychopath number two, which then later in the film ties in with psychopath number six, doesn't it? They all kind of tie together and they all end up being characters in the actual film.
Yeah.
So that's a bit that's quite weird is how... The film is about a man writing a film, and his friends that are helping him write this film end up being the characters in the film that he's going to write.
But also what you find, especially with that, it's Harry Dean Stanton, the Quaker, isn't he? You won't know who that actor is, quite a famous actor. But what you realise is he appropriates stories and then pretends they're his.
They're his.
Which has obviously happened to him, really, the writer. If someone goes, well, I told you that.
He shoots himself in the foot, doesn't he? Because he tells a story that Billy, his best friend, has told him. And he tells a story to Hans.
Yeah.
And as he's telling that story, Billy comes back with the drinks from the bar and he goes, no, let's not tell that story. That's not a good story to tell. And obviously Hans has heard the story and knows what is going on.
You already know this as an audience member, don't you? Because we've jumped to
you know that Hans is the Quaker.
Because he's got a scar on his neck.
Yeah.
He takes the scarf off and you can see that he slit his throat at one point in his life.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Oh. So there's this bit, isn't there, where Billy, to help his friend write the script, he puts an advert in the LA Times, which basically says, are you a psychopath? If you're a psychopath, call this number and we'll get in touch. And then outside their house is a man in a suit stroking a rabbit.
Tom Waits.
Yeah, is he a big actor?
Yeah, well, they say...
Actor, musician.
Heath Ledger... based the Joker on Tom Waits.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. That's interesting. Like that.
Yeah.
Good
yeah,
snippet
he's
of
well
knowledge.
Known, of course. Very well known.
Because his character's quite clever, isn't it? Because Colin Farrell's character, Marty, wants nothing to do with him. He, you know, he doesn't want this help. He's kind of a reluctant writer stuck in his ways, isn't he?
But also, he's a bit frightened about you put an advert in for psychopaths and one turns up.
Yeah, and kills you.
And kills you. And goes, there we go, write that. That would have been a good film, wouldn't it? Went an advert in, wrote it, he killed you. End. 15 minutes.
Moving on. There's a shot. And he tells a story of him and a woman that he fell in love with who basically went around killing people who did wrong. So they ended up being serial killers, but for good reasons.
They went after serial killers, didn't they?
Yeah.
And they killed the Zodiac, didn't they?
I don't know if you caught on at this point, Jack, about who his partner was.
Yeah, wasn't it Christopher Walken's wife?
So Hans's wife in the film has cancer. And it's regular that Hans is going to visit his wife. And she just seems a lovely character that cares dearly for her husband. And it's not until... you kind of work out that Hans is a psychopath, or Hans is one of the seven psychopaths, that you work out that she is also psychopath number six or whatever. And it's just quite clever, but it's almost quite confusing to explain. The way it comes across in the film, I personally think it works really well.
Like, well, I think it's edited well, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think it's a very effective way of storytelling. But... It's two stories put into one played at the same time, isn't it?
Yes.
Does that make sense? What did you think, Ben? You know, was it your sort of film or not?
What did I think? I thought he's a very good writer. In Bruges was very good. Billboards?
Seven Psychopaths.
Seven Billboards outside Missouri.
That was a brilliant film.
Three Billboards.
He's a great writer. However, for me, The dialogue's great, but it's sort of, it points lost its way. It came back, but it was bits of story pushed together, and it was almost two halves of a film. The first half, we were basically saying, everyone that surrounds Colin Farrell is a psychopath. Everyone he's surrounded by is a psychopath. And he's pretty much the only sane one, which is the writer. And then it got into that baggy bit, didn't it, midway through the film, where you're working to the end. So his mate Billy wants this big finale, doesn't he? A big shootout.
Yeah.
And you're sort of working to that. And then that, it lost its way a bit for me. I thought it had a very strong start and it was a very good end. But then the middle bit was sort of like, I felt he sort of got a bit lost. But the dialogue's fantastic. He writes great dialogue.
Were you not invested in the Shih Tzu story?
I loved Walken. It seemed a bit contrived.
Liked the Shih Tzu.
I loved Walken. It was more interesting when you realise, because the whole point of the Shih Tzu story is they steal a Shih Tzu from that mafia boss. But then what I liked about it was you realise that Billy was also shagging his girlfriend.
The mafias, but yeah.
And he knew the dog. Yeah. And he did it deliberately. Then I was that's quite interesting. He is a complete psychopath. They all are. Mm. Walken's character was the one that interested me most. Because
he steals the film.
Yeah. Well, he had a balance. So in one part, he seemed psychopathic. And the other bit, he seemed quite sane.
That's the thing with psychopaths, though, isn't it?
Yes.
Sane. And yeah, but the other, Billy's character just seemed psychopathic. He didn't seem very sane to me. Or Harrison's character.
There are the bits where, you know, where it's like shot at Joshua Tree.
Yeah.
And Billy's character's like, Billy's character is basically saying what he thinks the end of the film should be. And he's describing what we then see as the end of the film. And he's really quite psychopathic in that, isn't he? The way he's getting excited about the big shootout and the grand finale and how everything comes together.
I thought it was weird that he got shot in the head and was still alive. You see that at the end? He started stroking the dog and he had a bullet hole in the middle of his head.
Yeah.
Oh, he was asking the dog for a paw.
Yeah.
Which I liked the Shih Tzu bit.
I did.
I thought it was an interesting way of them moving that story on.
In the original draft of the script, the Shih Tzu got it in the end and got shot.
With a flare.
Yeah. And the studio made him take it out because he said you can't be cruel to animals.
Brilliant. You can absolutely. And when they burned that Zodiac guy with two daggers in his hands, they went, oh, that's fine. What if he just in that? Can we just go over that death? Yes. He stabbed through the hands on the table with two knives and then we'll burn him to death. That's fine. Don't shoot
and
the Shih Tzu.
Rabbit.
Don't shoot and don't kill the rabbit or the Shih Tzu. We're fine. You can do what you want.
It's weird because, you know, it's a hard film to kind of dig into and digest because there's very little to it. There's very little story, you know, and it all happens in the space of probably 2 days, doesn't it?
Have you seen, his brother's a director as well and a writer. Have you seen The Guard?
No.
He writes in a similar way.
I think I have.
He writes in a
similar
way.
Ben. What's that?
What's his face? Gleason.
Yeah.
And he's on that final bit and he's going to, it's almost like High Noon and he's coming to the end of it. And someone's going after him. But he writes in a very similar way. They both have a very similar way of putting things, which is, I can see if you get into their films, it's really quite nice to watch. They roll along. You get into that. When they're all together and they're all panicked, that's when it works best. When I didn't find it as good when I was outside the film. Do you know what I mean? When I was outside the film looking in, I didn't find it as good. But when they were in the situation at the end, I like that.
Right. I see what you mean.
When they were talking about how to make a film, I didn't find it as interesting. But when they felt like, oh, shit, we're going to die.
It felt like the film. Yeah.
I was like, oh, this is good. Sam Rockwell's character's a fucking nutcase.
Mentalist.
I loved him. I've always loved Rockwell. He's amazing.
He's very good.
Very good in everything he does.
He's very good. Yeah.
By the way, who's got the old grandfather clock clicking?
Oh, it's It's, can you hear that?
Yeah, it's loud as well.
It's just a clock in the kitchen, but it's like miles away.
It's because you've got your super duper headphones on, Cole, so I can't hear it.
Just be silent. There.
Well, there we go.
That's going to be all the way through this episode.
Oh, shit. Try not notice it.
To the hundreds of thousands of listeners, I apologise for Jack's
listeners now will go, you know when you can't hear a noise till someone points it out?
Yeah. It's going to be driving them mad now.
It's going to drive them mad.
Yeah.
Have you got a grandfather? What does it...
No, it's just a clock.
Fuck, that's loud.
On the wall.
Plastic on plasterboard. That's loud, isn't it? The old IKEA. Boom, boom. Big Ben. How'd you get to sleep?
You know sleep upstairs, not in loud. The kitchen.
It is loud. But yeah, for me, it's just a film that, you know, I do like.
Yeah, I really did like it, actually. I remember laughing a lot while, should we do ratings?
I think we're heading that way, aren't we?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's my film, so I go first. And I don't know what it is, you know, is it a dark comedy? Is it a comedy? Whatever it is, I really like it as a screenplay. I like the writing. I like the characters. It's something that you wouldn't mind. If someone gave you that and went, have a go, you'd go, nice. You know, there's nothing much not to dislike about the characters or the way the script works. I really liked Hans. You know, and I think that actor, I only really know him as the dad out of Hairspray. So then,
he's in Pulp Fiction. You've seen that.
Is he Winston Wolfe?
No, he's the guy who gives the gold watch to... That's Harvey Keitel. He's the guy who gives the gold watch to...
You know the big speech, the famous speech?
Look, I know him as the dad in Hairspray. No. When he does...
Deer Hunter?
He does a great song with John Travolta.
Wow. You should see him when he's young. He's got a habit of taking out all punctuation from sentences. He sort of says sentences, not how you'd imagine they were written. Yeah.
And he plays everything really... It's almost like he throws everything away, isn't it? It's just pure... I think that's what I liked about the film is none of it feels like acting. It just feels... Until Sam Rockwell, Billy goes into a psychopath, most of it just feels like dialogue. It almost feels like it's made up.
Mm.
It's so natural. You know, and that's what I liked. Seven Psychopaths. I think for me, it's a fairly solid film, and I'm going to give it an 8.
An 8? Good. I'll go next. Yeah, I agree with everything you're saying. I did like it. I laughed a lot. Loved Rockwell. Loved Walken. And Woody Harrelson. I think that ending between a standoff between Woody Harrelson and Sam Rockwell, the dialogue again is very clever.
And like the
when he can't get his gun working, and he's counting down from 5, and he goes 4, and he's desperately trying to get his gun working. He goes, "Can you go back to 5?" And he goes, "I'm not going back to 5." And he's just looking. He's trying, keep trying. Very funny. My rating is.
Oh, here we go. Are we doing some weird numbers now, Carol?
Yeah.
No.
What do you mean? No. 74.
Like he dropped to 0.75 last week.
7.5. I'm going
7.5.
7.5. Solid.
I've seen very mixed facials from Ben this podcast, so I'm not.
Well, it is my birthday.
I can't tell if it's the fact Jack didn't know it was his birthday or if it's the fact he's been pied from the Big Beast glamping tent.
Both have sent me and both have got a spear to the heart. No, look, it's everything you say, Coulson. It's a good film, good performances, good script. Do I think he's a better writer in that film? I do. Do I think he's a better director in that film? I do. Do I think it's the best he's done? No.
Well, interestingly, so for you, In Bruges or Three Billboards?
Three Billboards
I thought was fantastic.
Which I think is a stunning film, but it did come 6-7 years later, didn't it?
Yeah, yes it did, but I suppose this film felt a bit like I need to just get a film done. It felt a bit like, what am I going to write? Whereas Three Billboards felt like the film he wanted to write.
Yeah.
Felt like, I've got this amazing fucking script. I've got some amazing actors. This is the film that I want to make. But Seven Psychopaths is fine. It's all good. But it felt a bit like someone's gone, oh shit, quick, we've got some money.
if he had just done In Bruges and then his Hollywood money would have been Three Billboards, you'd look at that and you'd go, bloody hell, kid's got talent.
Yeah. Yeah, he has got talent. Maybe he had to do that film to get the other ones made. Maybe he was doing it between theatre, or maybe he just thought this was going to be better than it was.
I mean, it's a good film. It still did well. Like,
it's a good film. Yeah. It's a good film. I think what I'm trying to say is, I think he's an even better writer and director than that. I suppose I'm judging him on
what rating you're giving it, Ben.
Oh, okay. 7.5.
Good. I'll take that.
We've fucked up again.
Why?
We haven't decided a film.
No,
Ben.
You decided a film. Is that what you decided a film last week? You said to me, "Oh, we should do that," didn't you?
Oh yeah, I'm now torn actually.
Oh, why do you not speak outside the podcast?
What's that rating? What's that rating got?
7.5 add 8 add 7.5, which is 15 add 8, which is Carol Vorderman, please. 23 out of 30. Big score for me. Do I have to leave?
Yeah. You have to leave. Yeah, you have to leave.
Good night, God bless.
I'll just take your earphones off. Yeah. Right. We'll have a chat. Yeah, he can't hear us now.
No.
So, are we saying Fight Club?
Oh, Fight Club or... What was the other one? American History X.
Oh, yeah. So... Shall I flip a coin? Because I really can't decide. I'll flip a coin. Let me get a coin.
I wonder what's best though, Jack. Thinking what's best for Coulson. I think Fight Club might be.
I'm not bothered about what's best for him. They're both amazing films. You can't go bloody wrong. Fight Club's... Fight Club's Tales. What was the other one?
American History X.
American History X is ahead.
Jesus fucking Christ.
Right, yeah, come back in.
Hello.
So, Coles, thank you for leaving the room.
Yeah.
You're back now. Me and Ben couldn't decide on a film, so we ended up flipping a coin. And the film we are watching is Fight Club.
Never seen it.
Same director as...
In Bruges, Hannah Montana.
Seven.
Interesting.
David Fincher. So yeah, Fight Club.
I look forward to it.
Nice one.
So next week's film is Fight Club. If you want to keep in touch in the meantime, you can on our social medias, Instagram and Twitter at Sofa Cinema Club. Until next week, as always, good night. God bless.
Good night.
Good night.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.